Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So you have to walk in the light. The man who walketh in darkness, he knoweth not where he's going. He's busy doing a lot of things, like the organization. Look how busy they are. Many people are doing the same thing tonight, fundamentally. Like we gather here for watch night service and these things. They're doing the same thing in Jehovah Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Catholic, wherever. They're doing the same thing. Balaam had the same seven sacrifices, just like Israel.
Amen.
See, people can be fundamental, but the thing is, they are walking the glyph of passage, so they don't know where they're going. It's just a tradition to them. What we are talking about is getting ready for service, things that God wants done, a service according to his will in this age. A service he prepared servants to do for him. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Remember, wisdom is justified of all her children. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let us pray. Almighty God, looking at the scriptures that we have read, thinking of the junction that we are at, the preparations that we have made, the direction that we are looking ahead to and determined to walk in, and praying, dear God, that you will continue to give understanding and unfold your will that has begun to be revealed to us, even with greater detail, that, dear God, we will know how to carry out these things, Father. We realize many a time that, like you told your prophet, keep walking that day. All he said was keep walking, keep walking. The woman had more understanding than him. She saw him in a dream. He didn't even know where he was going. He didn't know what woman you were sending him to. He didn't know what condition lay there. But she knew that he was coming because you showed it to her, Lord. But yet, Lord, without a full and clear understanding, he was determined to walk in obedience. And you brought him and you perform a paradox. And so, Lord, we desire, even as we come here tonight, as a church, Lord, that we would feel the nearness of your presence, and that you will confirm your will deep down in the hearts of your children, especially the men in the assembly here tonight, heads of households, heads of families, leaders in the homes. Dear God, we can be united in heart and purpose according to your revealed will, that which you have opened up out of the scriptures in this day, that which is in a prophet to point us to, and realizing, dear God, that the great challenge that is set before us, Lord, we ask tonight that you would endure us with a greater measure of your spirit, the dynamics to the mechanics, Lord. It's good to have the mechanics and to know the mechanics, but Lord, without the dynamics, Lord, it would be nothing, Father. It takes the dynamics to get the thing moving. And so we pray, dear God, that everything can be so laid in place where the dynamics of the Holy Spirit can drop in and we can see the thing go into operation. May you grant it, Lord. Help us and undertake for us tonight as we wait before you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you, may I see. What time is it? Somebody can tell me? Hello? What? Oh, you see, that was the problem tonight. I come in and look at my watch and I still have Miami time. Thanks for that. Otherwise, 1 o'clock, I'll be saying, let's stand to our feet. Holy Spirit just knows that I'm about to redeem the time. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit is always perfect, friends. I don't know what you think, but I live for the moment.
Amen.
I live for the moment. I just try to walk close with God. That's all I know. See, some of you come expecting a program. Some of you come expecting something. I, I, I come tired and sleepy and weary and jet lag and getting things straight and just come in here to say good night, friends. Amen. And have the Lord's Supper and go home. But you see, the thing is, you see, when you wait for the end of the year to serve God, that's where it is. When you serve God every day of your life and you give your life to God and resume it 20 years ago, it don't matter whether it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it don't matter at all. It just matters, Lord, what you want done. Amen. You try to walk in it by the grace of God. And may God help us so we can walk like that. And we all desire that, don't we? Amen. You see the approach. I'm so glad to be home. No place like home, you know, you sleep in so many different beds, you eat so many different kind of food. I lived for 3 weeks in people's programs. And, you know, brother, we have to go here this morning. Brother, it's time to get up. You know, brother try to go to sleep early because we have to move early in the morning. Brother, we get down here. The brothers will be arriving just now. And brother, you know, the service is going to begin here. Let's do this. Brother, I think if we have time to do that, we ought to do this now. And then you just submit to what is best. Because remember when they planned the meeting, people coming from hundreds and hundreds of miles all over the place. It's a big country there, traveling days and to come, and you just have to cooperate. You didn't go there to just have a time. You went to serve the Lord and represent Him, and you know the country was so stood up when they heard we were coming, and the people were still speaking of the effects of the meeting back in 1984, since the first time. They just can't seem to forget the influence. 85 and 86 and 90 and they was wondering what happened all these years and you know the CEO preaching up in Canada and different things and then coming to the meeting like that and the Holy Spirit just knows how to give witness to the truth, how to move among the people in Harare. The meeting was so big, we had about 4,000 people in a place there. And the place was so hot there. They rented this big place and no air condition. It wasn't, I guess the people didn't want to give them all the facilities to go to the place. So you can imagine that kind of thing, packed wall to wall, and then no air condition. And my first message was a 3-hour message after an hour and a half song service. And the people sat there and they got up and went outside and had an hour lunch. Come back in half hour consecration, and then a 2-hour song service. And because Brother Ken was telling me, he said, brother, he says, time to go, you know, the brother's waiting on you. And I had to kind of tell him, I said, hey, you know, is I have to preach, they have to wait. Because, you know, he was watching the clock and the time, and I was watching, you know, brother, I'm not in no condition to go out there. When you stand to preach to 1,000 people is a lot, but much more when you stand to preach to 4,000 people and then try to keep focus and with the people and get a contact and a pull from the atmosphere that you to preach to them. Otherwise, you stand and you fumble in your mind, or you preach to maybe 20, you look at right and preach to 20, and then you have no contact with the next 3,980. You see, so it takes a lot out of you by the grace of God, I tell you. You know, so if I disappoint you tonight and I come and get all happy here and run over the platform and preach, just please forgive me, amen. I'll try to do better next month. I certainly wasn't too zealous for a service tonight, but, you know, duty is more duty than anything else here tonight by the grace of God. So, nevertheless, I'm happy to be home and happy to see all of you. And I know the brothers took good care of you, ministering to you, preaching to the word, and all the officers attending to the things that we are in the transition time, and getting it fine-tuned, and they was left with a lot of responsibilities, I know, and I just trust that I didn't have time to know all what took place. I came in a little late this evening, and I just trust that all has went well and is working. And what we have to be patient in, we'll be patient in. What we have to be steadfast in, be steadfast in. What we have to capitalize, we capitalize on. But nevertheless, the thing is not to please you, it's not to please me, it's to please Jesus Christ first. The gospel is to go out. You know, when you live in an island like we live in, friends, and you know, I have this burden, maybe I don't know how to communicate it too well. Maybe I kind of push and pull sometimes. And maybe I kind of look for something more than what maybe I am seen on the table. And sometimes people think, well, what does man want? Does man want blood? No. You know. But the thing is, when I look and I see what is there is not sufficient to get the work done, then I have two choices. If I believe you're the people, I believe it have more there to come out because you're predestined to do that job. So obviously I'm going to pull for more. See? Because I'm believing you're the people. That's an expression of my faith in you as the bride. If you say, well, there's no more to give, there's it. Well, I say, what have we got done with that? Can we point it? We don't even have a rotten dead Egyptian to point to, much more to get the people in the promised land. So by the grace of God, we certainly are trying, and we certainly would like to get the work, as I say, in the position where it should be in. Looking at these scriptures tonight, I'm thinking of capitalizing upon the opportunity, because the light that we are walking in is not just about water baptism and Godhead and these things. These things are doctrines that get us lined up with God, that we can benefit from what God have made available to teach us of God, to teach us of God ways, to get us in a place where we can know who God is, we can know who we are, we can know what God promised for the age, we can know how God wants certain things done, we can know what we need to line up with, what we need to be under expectation for, how He wants to anoint us, what has happened, what is to happen. All these things is to help teach us and get us established. But then it comes to a place where we, as a local church here now, in a certain region that we live in, and we see things around us. And we can look at the word and see, okay, God have identified us as members of the bride. He had to do that for us to be responsible. And it took God a long time to get us to recognize we are His people. We realize the ones in the message is us. The Baptists stay in the Baptist church. The Pentecostals stay in the Pentecostal church. Just like when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say come forth. He didn't want all the dead out. He only want Lazarus out. When God wanted the Jews back in their homeland, He didn't want all the Britons in Britain, and He didn't want all the Polish people in Poland. He didn't want all the Germans in Germany. He just wanted the Jews to come out. So when that sixth trumpet blew, they came out and they went back to their homeland. Well, that's what God wanted. And so if God wanted to be Baptist and Methodist in this message, they'd be here tonight. But the thing is, God wanted us to come. And then He had to sit down and teach us and train us, just like He was with Moses in the mountain, teaching him, training him, emptying him out, bring him to a place to know, okay, Moses, you're going to go back and do this. So there's a time Moses walked off the mountain, anointed and commissioned. Had a time Mommy was teaching him. Had a time God was teaching him. But had a time Moses was anointed and commissioned. God was working through Moses, getting the thing done. That is the place I'm trying to nail down. When you see I'm driving these things, that's the place I'm driving it. I'm not talking about whether you go in the rapture or whether you're in the bride or whether I believe you're going to the rapture. I believe you're going to the bride. I believe I'm going. But the thing is, I believe God called me more than to go in the rapture. I believe there's a lot of things done to go in the rapture. And I believe that those things is holding back the rapture, because even though God ordained something to be done, He has a way to do it. And it's not what will be in the predestinate coming. We see when God wanted to get Jonah to go and do a service, and he didn't want to go, God creates storm, God creates fish, God bring all kinds to get him to do it. Because God don't have no other way to get it done. We see when God wanted to get Lot out of Sodom, God didn't come down and take Lot out. God come down, revealed the mysteries to Abraham, show Abraham what he was about to do, give the word to Abraham, it loose a spirit in Abraham. Abraham begin to pray. God remembered Abraham, and God bring Lot out. Because God have a way to do it. See? And that is why when we look at these things and the plan for the age is open up to us, then we realize, no, there's a part about being a co-worker with God. Now, there's a lot of people working for God today. Everybody working for God. But God don't want people to work for Him. God wants to do the work Himself. Amen. But God wants co-workers that He can work through to get the job done. Amen. Because God is not coming to get involved in somebody's program. God is getting people anointed and to accept the responsibility that it becometh them to fulfill all righteousness. And then they can be about the Father's business, which is to do the work. And I've had the opportunity this year to travel quite a bit. And one of the things I noticed, so many who were not ordained to go beyond accepting the message, God's not a prophet, come out to the organization, they have remained there. They can't go no further. There was no further 20 years ago than they are today. There will not be no further than that. That's why they go through the tribulation period to be purified. They have accepted the part they're coming for. They took the vessels, but they took no oil with them. They have nothing to teach them further. They have nothing to empower them to carry out the plan of God. But they are faithful. They are undefiled people, sanctified people, virgins, good people, just as good as the others. Only thing the others, by election, were elected to be born again, to get oil. And that the lamp wouldn't go out. It would light all the way into the resurrection. And that's what's happening. You're dealing with a mixed multitude. You're dealing with different classes of people. And sometimes, if you lose your focus, you will preach day and night, wearing yourself out to get the foolish virgins operating in the supernatural. And by the time you're done, you will think you defeat your purpose, you're unsuccessful, you're discouraged, you're heartbroken, you question your calling and everything else. Why? Because you're dealing with the wrong crowd, trying to get them to do a service that they're not ordained to do and will never ever come to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Unless you have all the foolish voices in the denomination, then how are you going to say at midnight, there's a behold a bridegroom coming, announcing the coming of the Lord, and two classes went out? How are we going to deal with that? Then how we are going to deal with the people in the message who don't have the Holy Ghost? Who is not too interested about getting it, even though they come from junction after junction and recognize that they don't have it? They don't want to call it not having the Holy Ghost. They just want to say, but God has used this brother, but that sister blessed. Wait till they're blessed with some talent. It is the Holy Ghost in them making them do what they're doing. It is the thing that you are claiming is what making them do what they're doing. So when is somebody having victory, pulling the stronghold of the enemy, sacrificing, laboring, yielding, surrendering, lining up with the word, receiving correction, maintaining the atmosphere, living true and sanctified? If falling every day in the flesh, then when you see that, how could you claim the same thing but it's the opposite? Because we live the same message, because we're in the same church? Can't be. Remember, bride is not coming in the message. Bride is predestinated to meet a certain part of the word. And that's the thing. And so you realize if you are working with something, you have to find where that potential is and tap into it. You have to find individuals that is quickened by the Spirit. They're quickened to something. They caught the revelation. They ain't just coming to church. They sat there and they caught something. Something got a hold of them. I said, something keeps holding me every day I see, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. Something keeps holding me.
Amen.
You can't explain away that. That's the Holy Ghost. Remember, it's not people seeking the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost seeking people. When the Holy Ghost is seeking you, you will seek him. There'll be something upon you. But when he's not really seeking you, you will try to seek him. But you're not going to reach a locked door and stop. And if it's there long enough, then they walk on and say, we get by faith. I believe I have it, man. See? And then you can't love your wife. And then you can't take a position in the home. And then you can't provide leadership for your children. And then you can't become active in the house of God in the message. And then you can't do it in the kingdom of God. The Holy Ghost ain't coming for you to build your program. The Holy Ghost coming into you to make you fulfill God's word and show God victory for this age.
Amen. It's true.
It isn't you controlling the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God.
Amen.
It's God controlling you.
Amen.
And that's the thing. So Jesus is speaking. In his day, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followed me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He said, John was a bright and shining light. You're walking that for a season. Well, John light wasn't intended to carry them no further than bringing them to the world. John light wasn't to give them the Holy Ghost. John light was to get them to recognize there was a sinner and to believe on a Savior that he had to identify to them. And then that Savior will open the plan of salvation to show he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And if they want to see him, where they will see him, except a corner of falling ground and die, it abide alone. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we realize that even Jesus, he said, I meant to tell you, but the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because many things was not to be taught from the outside. Something had to be taught from the inside. Otherwise, Jesus would have stopped here and preached everything. The prophet would have stopped here and preached everything. Then all we got is explanation. But the reason God said, look, leave that alone. Seal that up. That don't reveal it in public. And then people are waiting for him to come back around. All they think of is an outside teacher teaching them. Well, the person who constantly looks for outside teacher is the person who don't have the Holy Ghost. They have a church membership and they want a man to teach them. But when you have the Holy Ghost, then you hear the word coming through the man, the outside teacher, but on the inside, you're not just hearing a sermon, it's showing you your part in that. It's showing you how to line up in that. It's showing you how to take that wheat and beat it into a loaf of bread and keep sustaining you from day to day. Because you will never ever do somebody else's part. No matter how clear is the word. You'll only be anointed to do what God called you to do. See? And that is why in teaching them, he says, look, the light is here. And you know, we sing the song, and the light has come to show us where we are going. In bridal step along the way we are treading. And we've been walking in this light. We travel in this light. Look where this light has led us to. Look at the things that we are trying to get the faith of the people zero towards. 90% of our message in the last 6 months is not to get your faith for healing. It's not to get your faith for salvation. 90% of the message is to try to tell the church as a local church, rise and shine because you have a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. We have to get the work lined up a certain way for God to work in and through the members of the body.
Amen.
At the time Jesus was teaching them, at the time he said, go in the upper room and tarry, then you shall be witnesses. Well, we are not then you shall be witnesses. An operating church, not a church walking around the Son of Man all the time, walking around the Son of Man, talking about that great there. Boy, put some little denomination tonight. Hallelujah. Boy, give them politicians, hell and pilots, some real rebuke. And we rejoice over those things. Boy, tell them we're in the bride. Hallelujah. No. Now is, I who am with you will be in you. Amen. Continuing my work. That is where we've been trying to drive it down to say, saints here in the assembly, wake up and recognize the light has come to show you serving God is knowing the will of God. And when the will of God is revealed to you as a group, as a body of believers, we need to get focused this way. We need to get operating in this sphere. And that is important in carrying out the will of God. The success of that is not going to lie in the fact you're bringing 5,000 people. That's not the success. To say, boy, look, it happened. No, no. The success is in that God had a church that he was able to come to a place where it could be spirit-led. When a church gathered together, but we might look as a group of people here, but is a body with systems in it. When bone comes to its bone, and sinew and flesh and skin come upon it, and breath come upon it, is an operating body. That body of eyes, that body of ears, that body of heart, that body of lungs, that body of blood, that body of intelligence, is a body. Many members, but one body, under a headship, carrying out the plan of God, in union with God. That's what we're talking about. Now, that is difficult in this country. And you know why it is hard to break into? Because many of us have backgrounds in different type of churches where the only Christianity that we place a lot of emphasis is going to church and hearing a message and going home. And God trying to shake you out of that. Not to the place where everybody will be running around the country. In other words, you get more operative. Many people figure out, we used to testify a long time, we do it again. Because we don't give our witness to the nation. No, no. The enemy come in and take that away. The palmer worm eat that off the tree. You see the thing with the prophet, and the prophet came, he looked at the age, he looked at what is called the church, he looked at the early church, and he could tell what was eaten off. And he could tell what had to be restored back on the tree. And his preaching was to restore the tree. And we have to wake up and in reality, look at ourselves, which is the tree, and see, are we bearing all these things, or has it been eaten off? If it's eaten off, it don't mean that's the end of it. I will restore. I will enforce a condition of restoration. I have a way to bring back to its original estate what went away from me. I've lost the pot into motion to get it back operative. That is where the preaching have been trying to break into to get the thing. It don't come by screaming and shouting it down. It come by working with the laws to get the thing. It come by planting the seed that a person can know what it is, how it operates, what you're looking for, how you identify it, how it will make you behave, how you will know it when you have it, what results it will bring. It'll be there. Sometimes people don't like that. People say, man, where's the bride? We should have that. Sure, Moses was the prophet. But what did he have? He had all the equipment bought on him, but he couldn't use it. He didn't know how to use it. And that's the thing. That's where many times, you know, it's difficult. You find that we talk these things and some of you want to grasp it. Some of you have a partial understanding of it. Some of you need to be made clearer to you. And the only way we can really help you is study what the church was. Study why he raised the church. What he intended the church to be. How he called that church. How he trained that church. How when the Spirit came upon that church, they did what he did the way he did it. The works I do, shall you do also. The same way I do it. The same principle I did it by. The same approach I had to it. That is how it is. People today hear him say, the works I do shall do also. And then they're trying to do a Pentecostal way. They're trying to do a denominational way. And that's what I've noticed. And this last trip here, I saw it too. There's a creeping paralysis and impotence that is becoming more visible, because so many people, it is not clear with them how to come into what has been promised. Let me tell you, friends, when they were going to win Canaan land, Joshua had to know how he's getting them people over that river. It was God's responsibility. He waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And when God came down and God said that way, even though it seemed that it's a strange way to do that, yet he knew that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now you can never understand until you know, as I was with Moses. How was he with Moses? How did he call Moses? How did he train Moses? How did he do it with Moses? Elisha wanted a double portion. But he said, if you see me, go. The key to that was in Elijah. The key for what Joshua and him did was in Moses. The key for what the apostle did was in Jesus. The key for what we have to do was in the prophet. God gives, always find the places. What was the way, the appropriated way for the appropriated gift to find its appropriated place? Follow the star. No other way. Follow the star. Not gifted men. What gifted men want to do? That men, you think it's when they get there in Bethlehem they recognize they had a gift? They knew they had a gift. They traveled with a gift. You think people who stop and do things with an ability that coming them out of them, sometimes it operating, but they see it, other people can testify, boy, that's more than that person, boy, that great boy. Woo! That really blessed my heart. You will have a gift to sing, you will have a gift to play, you will have a gift to preach, you will have a gift to give, you will have a gift, you know, to pray for the sick or whatever. You have a gift to prophesy. But what is the key for that to find its place? Having it is one thing, but placing it, how does it get placed? And let me show you, real power don't lie in a gift. Real power lies in a placing. Look at Abraham down in Egypt. Standing down there. Brother lying afraid of his life. With Abimelech. With Pharaoh, afraid of his life. Yet look at the man in his place in the Holy Ghost. He killed five kings. Went there with 300 men against armies and destroyed them. Why? That's the man in his position where he's placed by God. So when you look and see, the thing placed. Why did all of us fell and Billy Graham fell and all them fall? They had gift, but it never came to no place. They were all along the star, but they never followed the star to find the place. And when you see the star, friends, to follow the star, the places he passed, when you follow there, you become a dead man and a dead woman. He is ordained to lead you to your death. Exactly right. When they fail to follow that star, they end up in politics. That the same ones who had the gift was going to be used by the devil so the enemy could come and destroy the very thing the gift was supposed to identify. Is that right? You know people who have gift and turn around and work against the message? And the devil has used up to even destroy the message? The effects of the message? though the gifts was intended to be for the message, but then follow the star all the way. And from the time you come from under the leadership of following the star, you easily get seduced. While heaven is winding them and dying them and seducing them, they didn't know they were being manipulated and seduced and become but the very thing by which you would get the information to destroy the child. And that's why it's so important to operate in the realm of the supernatural. It takes spiritual discernment. It takes spiritual power. It takes spiritual leadership. And that means to each and every one of us, the call for what we are looking to in this coming year, that we'll all have to pay a greater price. But God has to convince us. Otherwise, to pay a greater price for something that convinces us is even harder. But shouldn't we be convinced in 1997 that if this message is to go anywhere and do anything, it has to be done by the bride? By and through the members of the bride, he will finish the work. That's the whole thing. So many say are working for God today, but so few are available for God to work with, for God to work in, for God to work through. And he has spoken his word, the light has come. And Jesus was trying to show to them. He said, walk in the light while you have the light, but darkness is coming. Because the light is only given for a certain period. Paul's light was for a certain period of time. Darkness is going to come in the age. Irenaeus' light was for a certain period of time. Darkness is going to come in the age. When that candlestick, that lampstand was removed, when that light served its purpose, and people who had failed to move in that light, then they begin to go where? Into organization. They don't know where they go at. They go out into programs, they go out into organization, they go out into reason and man-made things, and then eventually whole things become what? A can of worms. Look at the messages we went through these last few months, teaching us and showing us the whole plot of the enemy to get a hold of the seed, to destroy the seed. That's what Paul says here, redeeming the time because the days are evil, friends. And with the days being evil, he said, awake, let Christ give you his light. Awake, thou that sleepest, let Christ give you his light. And we can do it, understand what the will of the Lord is. And then when we do it, we can redeem the time. We can buy up the opportunities. See, time and opportunities go together. Time can be measured out. But there is so much. Like for you are 1 year. 1 year, that's a space of time. That's 12 months. See? Then that 12 months in a year, then you get 360 days. Then in that 360 days, you bring the mic 24, you get the amount of hours. But then in that 1 year, you only have 4 seasons. Spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And there is only so much a time in one season. And then if something will be done, in springtime, you're gonna put your seed in your field. And that time run out, you're gonna put your seed after that, you waste the time. You just, though you had all that year, but there's so much time was to put this in the field, so much time for it to grow, so much time to reap it. And these are the things that many times in doing the work of the Lord, we go for. Jesus said, look, I send you to reap in the labors of others. Men who are to plant, he anoint men to plant certain things. He anoint men to catch things in a certain season when that seed had to get in the field. That is why revelation is sovereign. God knows when he wants to reveal things. Look right here in this island. While God is revealing truth to get people forward, the devil is blinding people and calling it the devil. And fighting against it. When it was the seeds that they needed, that in a few months, those is water, it would have put them churches in a certain condition. Then you watch the people now who come in 6 years after because they missed the opportunity. You know what happened? It don't take effect like when it took effect in the hearts of those who receive it in the season to ascend. You can't get the same yield. Does that sound logical? You tried in the natural then. You did to not plant it and someone says it's going to grow. It was supposed to be planted in spring. See if you're going to get the same crop the same way. It don't matter. In another season, the conditions change. They're more trying to learn it by education afterwards. When some was catched by revelation because the conditions around them was confirming that word to them and making it manifest in their life. Because revelation has come forth at a certain time when certain things is taking place. You watch when Luther came to Joshua by faith and begin to preach that. The political realm, the war with the Turks, Captain Constantinople, in the scientific realm, the people inventing the printing press, the Jews being able to travel from the east to the west. His message to Joshua by faith, he had the printing press to print the Bibles, he had the Jewish scholars to translate it because the war but have free up the place, change the world. And just the time, he as a messenger who had the message, had the tools now to spread the message. God the seed to everything. That is why everybody's not built up the scene in them realms. God give you an anointed leader to catch things in the world and bring it to you. You have enough faith to know that's God's leader there and you work with that. You just obey and carry the word out. You just guard and protect it and testify it's right. You just take your position. That's a pot and seed go forth. But when everybody want to go and try to catch another realm, what do? You get instead of manufacturing, kill the very thing. It killed the effect of the very thing. What if everybody try to go and play Brother Brahma and turn the back and say, that's what the Pentecostals tried to do. He says, one a generation, everybody want to do that. Somebody with a headache, somebody with a backache. With that kind of bench, you should get more than backache. With that kind of preaching, don't tell where you could get to. You see, sure. That's why, you see, the thing you're trying to wake the church up to and get the church function is not for us. It's not for me. It's not like my interpretation or some certain idea we have or something we're trying to get the people to do that the people not ought to do. We are trying to say we are being called according to a purpose. And that purpose is what we are catching in the word because already written in the Bible. Not nobody will come with a new idea. It has to be in the Bible somewhere. And when you find in the Bible that is a believer, you get convinced, you get concerned. And when you get concerned, brother, let me tell you, if you have a truck, you use a truck for the glory of God. Go and be convinced and concerned, see. Man gets saved, he don't know what to do. He wants no position. Holy Spirit with him. Look at the truck parked up there. Look at people come out and hear the word. Next thing, the man was shuttling people back and forth to the meetings. People was getting saved everywhere. Man get convinced. Look at the word well. Get convinced. Tell a testimony. The whole city gets stood up. Think of it. People hear and recognize it and acting upon the very word. And the thing that have been eaten off is what we have to see come back on the tree. Somehow there will be a power to bring that thing back around. A tree does have a leaf and lose that leaf. You know what makes a tree lose a leaf? The earth does get away from the sun. And a winter does come in and kill it. And the sap does go on the ground. And all the leaves come off. But it have a way to bring that leaf back on the tree. You know the power, what it is? Pull the earth back around the presence of the sun again. And that power will resurrect that thing and put it back there. And stand the condition it was in before it lost it. Nature does that. Then
use the Bible to reveal what happened when we get away from the S-O-N. When we get away from the light. You watch a man lies, sit down there in church, another power begin to take him and pull him away from the world in church. Pulling me around into friends with that influence. Just the cold breeze and that winter has come. That influence and them friends just come upon him. That is his cold breeze. He leaves that and drop off. No more fellowship. Tell him miss church, everything. Then is your fruit and everything gone. Next is in the mind of backslidden condition, naked as a bone, dry, destitute of everything. And then you see the Holy Spirit give grace, convict his heart, bring him back to the house of God, sit in the presence of God there, start to submit his heart to God, start to repent under the power of the Holy Spirit. What begin to happen? All them things that come right back on again.
Amen.
Exactly. And that's what it is. That is why, if that is done with nature, that done with the individual, that done with the church the same way. Today, people pass a big forest and see acid rain killing all them trees. And they stand and say, my goodness, look at all this acid rain. Look at all these things taking place. But for them to carry out the plan of God. But they are faithful. They are undefiled people. Sanctified people, virgins, good people, just as good as the others. Only thing the others, by election, were elected to be born again, to get oil. And that the lamp wouldn't go out. It would light all the way into the resurrection. And that's what's happening. And the scientists could trace that rain all the way back to fumes and toxic waste blowing out where things have been manufactured. And that how the air currents carry that, how it falls in a certain realm and destroy the life that exists in that place. And they can see how that chain of life is broken down. How much more? How much more can we see? So many things. God raised them trees, but it turned carbon dioxide back into oxygen, different things. But keep the environment alive, supply nourishment for birds and animals and shade and everything else. Keep the vegetation and the undergrowth around it a certain way. And then that influence comes and breaks up that whole chain of life, destroys it. In the same way you see influences begin to move in a church, move in a nation, move in a country, move in churches in a certain region that God put in that region to give light and to give a witness and to spread the gospel. God didn't send, when God sent a message in this country, God didn't send the ministers to fight one another. God sent the churches to compete with each other. Then how it ended up there? Another power came in, deformed the very thing, paralyzed the thing, crippled the thing, hit the thing before it got started. That's why Jesus was watching the apostles so close. Who would be the greatest one? Who was here fighting just for the way? He was watching right there. He knew if that church had to be witnesses, if that church had to receive a button of fire, if they had to spread the gospel in that age. But he knew he had to chop out and weed out and spray out everything to make sure it come to the place to be anointed with the Spirit, that they could be in the condition he was in. When the Spirit come upon them, he'll do the very same things. And that's what we are looking for. We are trusting that while we have this light, friends, the light that is showing us there's something that needs to be done. The light that is shining in the places and showing the reason we are getting together, what we are coming together for. The light that is showing us the time and the hour and breaking down the time and showing us the time running out. Showing us the influence and the power of the enemy is coming greater. When you see the kind of influence, conspiracy by religious leaders, you study the Bible. Jesus, we talk about the squeeze as an event. You watch and see what the squeeze constituted of. It was a conspiracy by religious leaders to destroy Jesus. and his message. They went so fast, but having an inquisition, arrest him, question him his doctrine, question him what he taught his followers. He said, I spoke openly. I didn't teach no secret. He said, what do I teach? Ask the people I preach to. Who I teach? He said, so want to know. And if someone to delude me, they're going to interrogate and investigate. Just ask the people who go to the service. Had 105,000 in a meeting. Go to anybody and ask them to go into the meeting, what did the man teach? But he knew by that coming to him and questioning him, they didn't want to find out what he taught. They want to trap him in his speech. You get what I'm saying? No, church, let me tell you, I'm trying to say, wake up, awake, thou that sleepest. Come into a spiritual realm, be mature in this hour. Walking in this world is not just a fantasy, it's a prophecy also, it's not just teaching, it's a prophecy, it's not just teaching about the squeeze, it's an event that's moving in upon us. It's not telling all the quotes and telling it'll be a persecution. Can't we see the thing coming from every side? Can't we see the spirit of the nation? Can't we see the pastors here? Can't we see the different cults that rise up? All these suicide and murders and different things? Look at Judas. He was seduced and bought. You think they strike luck by seducing and buying people who is part of the movement? You think that was like a wild blow to get through it? These men sit down. They must have people among them who dissatisfied. They must have people among them who will serve for money. They must have people among them who just dare for convenience. They must have people among them we can break under pressure. Don't you realize that? There must have people among them who better will kill the mother to get away. You see the nature, man. Jesus is telling people, he said, when the squeeze coming, time of Titus, he said, all the way down the children. Ezekiel didn't prophesy that. God in Deuteronomy tell them they will come down to that condition. Eat their own children. Be a vulture that feed on its own kingdom. That's why you realize they have access to what they have need of. Did we walk around our head in the clouds and feel a false sense of security? But that's the nights they're going through suffering. In Africa, yeah, pain. Not sleeping for 2 days and 2 nights. Then having forced with the lineup. And yet, in my mind, the scripture, I'm working with, where in 2 Corinthians 1, Paul said, he said, and we the sentence of death was in us. That we who suffered had to suffer that we might know how to comfort others in their suffering. You see, everything they're trying to pray and rebuke off. You think if Jesus wanted to look free, he'd have fallen 3 times on the cross to look weak? When he upheld the universe by his word? But he wants to reveal to us, but in the perseverance to do what is to be done, even though we're dying, we'll rise up and go on and fall and rise up and go on. Dying to fulfill the very word, if it needs be. Isn't that find the easiest way to get there? In pain and affliction. And Paul said, dying, but yet we live. Having nothing, but yet possessing all things. Being weak, but yet strong, is what it is, friends. And then get there, after freedom, four service, come back, get the grace of God, and go on to preach this Sunday morning, and then before I can even start, another brother raise up, he went to service in the evening too. He was going to dismiss his people in the morning, to tell them the service is going to be in the evening. People don't gather ready. And then I said, you really want me to come here? He says, yes, but I asked you when he's in Canada if you'll come, so. I says, okay. So we're going to preach, the people know. barely could stand up to preach. And over and over and over again, down would come the Holy Spirit. And but at the end, he said, but that was not man. It couldn't be. Because we see you come there. Weak, you hardly have a voice to speak. Yet I'm standing there, hearing my voice. I'm standing there, like out in the body almost. Seeing the thing happen. What is this? What it causes. You see, that's why our redemption was the cheap thing. And if we are kinsmen, you think the redemption is just a different redemption? We are just a co-working the plan of redemption. And for us to really fulfill it, a measure of that suffering is left us to fulfill in us to finish the book. Isn't that outside of it? So when everybody trying to secure, you know, your ease and your comfort, the effort is to secure that. No, for me to anything or any time that seems to get jeopardized, better we back off. We have to come to a place where burly, if that is to be jeopardized, let it be jeopardized because the cause is greater than that. Amen. And sometimes it's not going to be jeopardized. Like when God tells the young ruler, give up all the evidence, said, boy, you don't want to do all that. He was just going to show him his self-estimation was higher than what it really was. He said, you see yourself as a big religious man, eh? You see yourself as a great man of God. You see yourself as a real loyal, faithful person. He said, you know, let me show how faithful he is. Absolutely worthy. Sell all that and give the poor and follow this. He says, you stand right there, stand. That's where. That's all it was. It's his way of showing them where they are. It's his way of showing them they like it, but they're willing to die and sacrifice for it. They want it on different terms, convenient to them. He was going to show them, look what you value more than this. Because when you look at this, this is a church service. This is a man. This is not the Pope of God before the foundation of the world. That's why we stand and say, boy, we was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. This is predestinated. God knew we'd be here. What color shirt do we wear and everything? And we say that, we say that by the song theological, the song revelated. Like we're giving glory to God. Like God so short the glory, we kind of give God the boost because God dumps, we try to cheer up God. God don't need that. God wants to see we really believe that, and we act upon it if we believe it. And that's why you see the conspiracy. You see the Sadducees bribe. How they bribe people with money, the soldiers, different things. They bought them off. They say, all you say, that they teach the body. Church leaders, get these people, buy them out, so they can destroy that group. Then they come and don't preach and teach them, beat them our name. And use intimidation and fear to paralyze them. That is what they did to them. Look at Daniel and them. Look at Pharaoh did to the children as well. But he made them work so much until he break the spirit. You know what companies doing now? But they have a kind of realm of executives coming. All they earn is money and profits and money and profits. And it's work, 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 work. And you don't want it, somebody else needs a job. And they threaten the whole fear and they keep on working. You have to keep on producing. You have to keep on working. Why? The very same thing. So you can't worship God. Amen. You can't worship God. That's exactly what he did in China and Israel. Amen. They slaved their night. That's all he did. And Moses said, God called for 3 days. He wouldn't give them that 3 days for nothing. But in the contest, he said, okay, go without the woman. He said, no, we're going with the woman and children. He said, go down the cattle and sheep. He said, no, we're going with the cattle and sheep. And then he said, no, they're going. And then God commenced to rain plague after plague after plague. But that's what started. He refused to give them time off to go and worship God. Amen. Are we talking about squeeze? When you see the sweets come down, boy. That's why we can't. That's why we can't move. Because people are living in such an unconscious realm, bound and controlled by systems and man, and they can't see those who are put in the Bible and show them what is coming and how you're going to handicap them and keep them from the word. In the hour when the message needs them the most, when all Christianity built up for the last day church to bring the resurrection, sweep the message to the coming of Jesus Christ, that's the hour Satan bring it in there. New plan going to start, new thing going to start, new is going to start. And then you see 10 commandments, you can't spirit date and was. They take all the choice people in the job to get them position supervisor this year, put you over thing, and then you anoint you with their spirit to further exploit your fellow man. And what they do to you, they are revelation to see what system doing them. And to see where the system polluting the environment, system evading tax, system banking the money outside, system full of corruption and bubble, system but killing ones of people, went down to get them something, can't get them nothing. And then a lot of people like lords in them system, working for the system too. And they're hiding behind, give Caesar away Caesar, give Pharaoh away Pharaoh. I can imagine how time they don't sing that song. Same thing. Time to wake up to see the world first. Don't let another year come in and blow away and just keep going to see it. Remember, that's the purpose of the revelation of the world. Moses, in the midst of all of that, was getting a revelation of the time, of what was happening. And he knew he was born for a purpose. And he knew he had no other way to liberate them people. God's way was not when you get on the throne, you sign an emancipation thing, and you say, God's way wasn't so. He knew God's way wasn't so. And it can't be what will be. Jonah can't sit down and say, nah, it will get done anyhow. God is a great God. God had to use me to get done. God had to use every one of us who say we're in bride. It's us God has to use. God can't use nobody else. God ain't going to leave you and go jump Pentecostals to get done. And then can't win the rapture because it's election. God's going to get us in the condition to get it done. Look at the time of Daniel and them, the scheme of the enemy to break them and destroy them for the worship. Look at them at Ezra and Nehemiah, the opposition they get for the worship. Look at Hitler, final solution for the Jews, the Roman Catholic Church working through them to break them. To destroy them and genocide for our people. All these things was to unfold what we have come into. While we have the light, let's bar up the opportunities. Let's recognize it. Let's give them the conviction of it. Because here we are. We've come to this spot where we know it's come down to an end. God, by his grace, will help us reach far. He can't deceive us no more. His scheme is uncovered. All his secrets is exposed. He's howling. You talk about fight on this trip. From the time we land in Miami, the two brothers was confirmed to go and I was not confirmed to go. And when they board in the flight, they said, no, you gotta go back outside. I said, but I don't make all the arrangements. How many are not confirmed? From Ajax now. You think it was easy? Brother Roger, I've been assured, I see, you see what's happening? Come back to the very end. Trying to get a flight change, we don't have to spend 6 hours in the airport. And Brother Ken wanted, he was excited at doing that. And I tell him, I said, what we're going to step up for is not important enough. I said, you see me, I know my warfare. I know my battles. Finally, we said, okay, we're going to do it. We get it done. When the brother came back, he came out with 10 passports. My passport missing. 3 passports missing. He don't have it. He can't find it. He has a call up everywhere. He left the passport somewhere. Same day we supposed to fly. And then all the way through. When he made his move, there before we went to the last of the meetings, 2 days and two nights, no sleep, pains. And then we all have our own room. Two birds come by my room. Two night birds. And you talk about, you know, like two little mischievous children with two whistles. They're blowing all night. I tried to lie down on the floor, trying to lie down inside the bed. It was pain. Could hardly stand. Can't raise a 5 minutes. 2 days, guys. Get up in the morning. Go in your flower. Fainting. Can't take breakfast. Nothing at all. Want to vomit all the time. Walk up to the platform like that. And I'm being hear the singing. And all of a sudden, like something's happened to me. Preach the first service. Barely get through. And then by the second day, two services, back to back the second day. And I don't know what happened. Just power of transformation. Constantly. Warfare. Satan will try to stop us from this. But remember, we have to fight for every inch of them we have to possess. Obstacles come in our path, but if the will of God is revealed to us, then we can be perseverant. If we have an absolute, and you're tied to the absolute, then it can lead to a paradox. Look for paradox in the absolute. It's a man who's tied to absolute is who performs a paradox. Because paradox is in conditions where it's impossible, like it can't take place. And people can stand there with faith believing God is able to do it right there. Let's stand to our feet now. We're about 25 minutes to 12. This is going to be warfare. This year is going to be a year of intensified warfare. You see the kind of brutality in the nation. You see the kind of crime. When you see those kind of crime, you realize the vengeance these demons are moving with. Supernatural devil determined to destroy. To make this world such like a desolate wilderness. You think that even while he hasn't fully been loose completely to do what he wants, he just still under permission. Think of when the Holy Ghost, he that literally left. Think of when the bride moves off the scene, friends, and all lawlessness breaks loose. When you see people can go into homes and kill people in cold blood, execute them. When you see people for riches, desire for riches, could sacrifice little children. There's some false concept that riches just come by doing something to get riches. When the Bible tells you, God has given man riches. You don't do nothing to get rich. Having possessions today don't mean you're going to be rich. Look where Job went. God showed Job who could lay his hand and take it away. Paul said people trust in uncertain riches and they pierce their soul to many sorrows. Look where riches went. In one night, all was gone. There's no security. Abraham said, I have lifted my hand to the possessor of heaven and earth, the creator. That's the one I lift my hands to. What the past here is just a stewardship, a responsibility, how to use that. But as far as it's coming from, God is the creator. As far as my reliance and dependence, not upon the creation, the creator. Amen. And if you can rely upon the creator, and the reliance is really in the creator, you don't have to see the substance. You get that? You say, well, I trust in God. God gave me this, you know. It's not my faith, it's God who gave me that. But you got to see it. You got to hold and touch it every day to feel safe. If it's really God, you don't see nothing. Just when you need it, it can be there. And let me tell you, we get away from that kind of faith. We don't walk in the faith yet. But that's where you got to walk. Otherwise, When that is taken away, where the faith for the third part going to come from? You just change station? No. Have to be new right now. little things. And he proven it to you in little things. And getting you ready for bigger things. Try him out tonight. We're looking forward with this new year coming. That we're gonna, our next service will be Sunday, you know that. And we'll start with one service Sunday. So we've got it for one service Sunday instead of two to start with. And on Sunday we'll announce the midweek service. And most likely was my heart is to get with the men first. In the beginning of the year and speak with the men. Because that's the place to work with, that's the place to start. That's the place to know if we're making progress. That's the place to know if we have a unified body, properly unified. That's the place to find out our weaknesses and our strengths. That's the place to find our deficiencies, where we are still deficient, where we need to do something. And so that will be announced, that will be confirmed to you Sunday. But as I say, most likely that is where we're going, but our next service will be Sunday morning, one general service, and then we'll use that service to brief you, to keep you filled in as the way we are going. You can see already is a step of faith we are making. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. It's a faith that we're putting into exercise for God to really move and bring us to the place where we can have the sense of satisfaction that the word is being carried out. The things that you have made us responsible for is being taken care of. We feel this sense of commitment. Tonight, as we get ready to come to this table, what we are gathered around the elements of his body and his blood is the very thing that is put there and kept there to be a memorial. And he knows why we need a memorial. Because that's the source of our strength. That's the whole source of our freedom. That's the whole source for our service. Everything we come to do is surrounds that body and that blood. There's nothing in Christianity we do that is not tied to that body and that blood. All God recognizes is that body and that blood. That sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That which was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. That is the center of everything. That's what we are gathered here tonight. It's not out in your job. It's not out in your education. It's not out in your possessions. It's not out in your personality. It's not out in your realm of influence. It's not nothing that you have acquired. It's not nothing that you have, some ability that you have. It lies right inside of there. That's the place, the only provided place of worship. But when we come together, we can worship in spirit and truth. We can worship around what God has done for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship with God is in Christ. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Hidden in God in Christ. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Get ready to focus upon this great portion. Let it be a time for us hearing some of the things that we have mentioned tonight to you. Lord, I'm giving my life away, laying it all on the altar. I'm coming out of reservation tonight. Let my stand, my witness be complete tonight. Let my identification, let my commitment be complete tonight. Take all of me, Lord. Let us have that in our hearts. We had bowed, we are closed. All in the mother's room at this time, please give me undivided attention. Everyone in all those rooms at the side, let the deacons watch. Now is not time to be good in toilets, please. Now is the time we come to get ready for the Lord's table. All what we have said, it lays upon this. His body was broken, his blood was shed, his life was released. So a church could be cleansed, and he could fill that church. He could do that service that needs to be done today.
Christ walking in your feet, speaking through your lips, thinking with your mind, believing with your heart, working with your hands. Jesus Christ in you. That's the message of the hour, friends. As this old year is fading out, last few minutes, for us here in this region where we go by this time, we're in this time zone here. We'll have gone through another year. We'll have begun a new one. Right where one is dying and one is being born. Right in this conjunction. Right here we take deep consideration, deep inventory of our own life, our service. Have we done our best for him this year? Could we have done better? Did we capitalize upon the opportunities that come our way? Did we turn our eye? Did we turn a deaf ear? Did we leave someone in need that we could have assisted? Are there restitutions that we're supposed to make? Are there things we're supposed to repent for? Weights and sins that needed to be laid aside? What is it we live for? Are we just existing? Are we just surviving? Are we just going from one place to the next? Or is there direction in our life? Are we focused? Is it a Christ-centered life? Is it a life that has, you've done everything you know how to do to line up with the Word? It means that to you tonight. You don't want to be the same way you was last year. You don't want to carry into the new year all kind of hangovers that need to be pruned off, chopped off. You want to lay all those things aside tonight. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Among us many weak and sickly, many sleep. For this lack of discernment, discerning the body, looking and seeing Trinidadians, looking and seeing some brother or sister we have some human concept of, but failing to see the mystical body of Jesus Christ, two or three that gather in his name, where he's in the midst in union with these people, have caused many people to become so sick, spiritually unhealthy, paralyzed, cannot seem to move, have need of healing, deliverance, can't seem to make progress as they should, many spiritually dead, gone to their own destruction. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, even as we come tonight, friends, tarry one for another. How do I do that? Pray for the body tonight. Let the body be purged from all sin and uncleanness. The members of the body are paralyzed and weak and sick and diseased, infected, polluted. Be so cleansed and sanctified. Life flow in every member of the body in such a way. The body can be so unified together. to serve the purpose that God intended to serve through that body. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may not come together unto judgment. While we tarry one for the other, especially you, for us the ministry, who bring the word to you, and we, the ministry, to you, the body that we are called to serve, you who are sheep and his lambs. Fathers, heads of the families, even tonight, taking that place, young men, young women, let it be such a fervent prayer in our hearts, effectual. Praying with deep consideration, conscious of the needs, yielding to the Holy Spirit. We can bring every soul here in this building into such a channel, into divine presence. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one flesh. We tarry for each other, even these last few moments, the time is ticking away. All our hearts are sent now to this table where the presence of God is, where the elements of his sacrificial work lays upon this table as an altar, as it were. And this bread that is to be broken, to think that it took a sharp sickle to cut that wheat down. It took a grinding stone to grind into powder, making the flour, then bake it into a heated oven that it might become bread, that it might be broken up and it would disappear into each and every one of us as we partake of it. This very one loaf that is unified together, symbolizing that one body of which we all are members. That very wine that represents his precious blood, think of it. It had to be crushed and squeezed out until the juice that represented blood flowed. That is how he purchased our salvation. His body being broken, his blood being poured out. Yet we can see when we partake of it, it goes into us. The only time it will be united again is when we come back together. We would stand here with the very symbol of that one loaf and that cup inside of us, just as we are partaking of his word and his spirit, and as united as a body in the headship, that he might work with and work through. Thank you, Jesus. All along the building now, just pray in your own way. Draw close to him. think of what he has done. He said, remember, as often as you remember, do this in remembrance of me. How willingly he gave it. How willingly he laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than this. In love he did it. Though it was so painful to him as a human being. Yet his love superseded the pain that he had to endure. It gave him strength to endure that pain. The shame, being stripped naked. Yet his love was so much. The joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. He despised that shame. Showing us that if we partake of the same thing, would it not produce the same effects in us? Make us live the same way. And by this love shall all men know you are my disciples, when you love one another. If we feed upon the elements of his sacrifice, if we feed upon the revelation of what he has done, wouldn't we become that? If that's the expression of what he was, who he is, what he did. If that was a demonstration of his love towards us, and we feed upon that, wouldn't that be the life flow out of us? Isn't that his will for us? That's why he ordained it and instituted it, that it would be carried out by us as often as we would come together. Isn't that service what we are speaking about in this hour? Almighty God, out of life, and give of every good and perfect gift. As a pastor, together with my fellow ministers, and this congregation of people that you've given us to watch over, your sheep and your lambs, he said, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And here tonight, we are gathered around the elements of this table in your divine presence, remembering you, dear God, you, the great shepherd of the sheepfold, who through the blood of your everlasting covenant, O God, you redeemed us from a life of bondage and sin. And Lord God, you brought us back into true fellowship with you, back into the fold, dear God, where we can live eternally in your divine presence. And here tonight, Father, in this hour when time is running out for the human race, O God, just like the time clock is ticking away for the calendar year that we have come down through these last 12 months. But here tonight, O God, we stand here, Lord, and we look not just back, but we look ahead as well. And seeing, O God, the condition that we need to come up into. And knowing, O God, that in our own selves we are insufficient. But knowing, O God, you are our sufficiency. And knowing, Father, that dear God, as we would gather around this great redemptive work that you did for us. And knowing, O God, Father, this was your provided way that reconciliation might be made. That the middle wall of partition be torn down. That the enmity be slain. That, Lord God, there be restored fellowship and peace. And to see, dear God, how you brought us down through this year. This great mystery of the peace offering. All the way down, Father. Oh, God, to the very law concerning the secrets. Lord, the enemy coming in for the kill, oh God, trying to slay the royal seed. But dear God, as we try to capitalize in the last few remaining opportunities we have, determine, oh God, to redeem the time tonight and come in for rededication, come in for reconsecration in this place. Praying, oh God, every father and every mother and every brother and every sister, every young man, every young woman, every home, every family that is represented here tonight. Oh God, we will make up the local assembly, oh God. Father, you called this island to walk in your divine truth. And dear God, you've been so gracious unto us. You've shown us such rich favor. Oh God, what else can we do, Father? Lord, we want to ask your forgiveness tonight for our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures. Lord God, forgive me for my faults, forgive me for my shortcomings, oh God. Father, where I could have done so much better, oh God. Father, oh Lord, where I was lackadaisical and slothful. Lord God, where I failed to consult you and consider your ways. Lord, in every way, oh God, where I was not the kind of servant you intended me to be, oh God. I pray you blot my transgressions tonight, oh God.
Father, I could be a more profitable servant for you in your service. And oh God, my fellow ministers, Lord, my deacons and trustees, oh God, all the helps and governments here in the assembly tonight, all we, oh God, who stand, Father, oh God, bearing and shouldering the great burden and responsibility of seeing this work, oh God, be established and be properly administrated, oh God. Father, may you forgive us, oh God. May your blood and all our transgressions delay to the congregation, oh God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that tonight, oh God, there will not be one, Father, that will not be under your divine consideration. Lord, your great observation, your all-observing eyes, Lord, would be looking upon each and every one. And Father, where every heart, dear God, every father who's the head of the home, calling upon your name, dear God, we're going to be better fathers. We're going to be better husbands, oh God. Father, we're going to be better wives, better children, dear God. Father, may you blood our transgressions, oh God. Now that you have us standing here in health and in strength, oh God, in our right minds, dear God, we want to take the opportunity, oh God, and ask, dear God, Father, that Lord God, you strike off everything that would have been against us. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. We have no excuse to make, Father, but we just plead for a refuge tonight, asking, oh God, that Father, should you tarry and allow us life, the Lord God, we can be better servants this year, oh God. We think of, Lord, when that man came looking for fruit on that tree, Father, he couldn't find no fruit on that tree. He said, why come back the ground, cut it down? But that vine dresser stood there interceding, oh God, pleading for an extension of time that we can dig around it, oh God. We can fertilize it afresh, Father, that we can be more fruit bearing unto you, that we will not disappoint you, Lord God. You have done so much for us, Lord. You are so deserving, Father. Your expectations are not wrong, Father. Lord, you are not over expecting, dear God. But Father, we are underproducing, oh God. And so we pray, dear God, you'll help us tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, may you grant it tonight, Father. And Lord, as we stand here in your mighty presence tonight, standing at this table, oh God, Father, looking at these elements, Father, that have been prepared for this memorial feast tonight, and we who would come to this table, oh God, Father God, to come for communion, Lord, to come to sup with you, Lord, Father, because we have a relationship with you, Lord, because there's a fellowship with you that, Lord, we derive our strength from. There is something, oh God, a union, Father.